Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today, simply 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically 888-275-4265. I'll be going to the calls in just a moment. Again, the number 888-ASK-HANK. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Is reading our local newspaper this weekend, the Saturday edition. There's an article titled Understanding God, How Muslims Look at the Story of Adam and Eve, written by Rose Hamid. And she points out that original sin is not part of Islamic doctrine, and she's absolutely right about that. In their view, in the Islamic view, humans are born without sin and with a desire to please God. That is very, very different than the Christian perspective. She goes on to write, I believe I have the correct understanding of God and that I'm following the best path, but I acknowledge that others feel just as strongly about their faith traditions, and that doesn't mean we have to be adversarial towards one another. A verse from the Quran offers guidance on how to live in a pluralistic society. To you, your religion, says the Quran, and to me, my religion. All sounds pretty good. She goes on to say, that verse tells me that God acknowledges people worship differently, and we shouldn't argue about it because in the end, he is the judge. The best thing to do is to live a life that demonstrates our faith in action and pray that others find the correct path. Although we understand him in different ways, we're all children of God, the Creator. He wants us to turn to Him. Actually, what she's leaving out and knows full well, she is very skilled at this. She writes in a lot of newspaper columns, and she's constantly personifying Islam, Muhammad, and Allah in a certain way. If you actually hold to the Christian belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, she will tell you, unless she apostatizes from her own faith, that you have committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. In other words, you have committed a sin that simply cannot be forgiven. But I think more to the point, she is quoting, when she says to you, your religion, and to me, my religion, she is quoting an early Meccan surah, a surah that according to most scholars in Islam, reliable scholars at least, has been abrogated by later Medinan surahs, like the Surah of the Sword, which says, fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them and seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. Now, that's not an isolated verse. Many other later verses that have not been abrogated are verses like, fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth from among the people of the book until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. You know, as I've said many times on this broadcast, there are only three real options that we are given, and those options are shahada. You have to believe that there's only one God, and that God is Allah, not the God of the Bible, a Unitarian God, and Muhammad is His prophet. Or if you don't say the shahada, you face the sword or submission. Not only that, but I think it's interesting when you talk about the whole issue of original sin, which Rose Hamid was writing about, you find out immediately that Allah confuses the tree of life with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A graver misapprehension can hardly be imagined. To confuse a tree representing a life with one leading to a death or to a disease or destruction is the epitome of missing the point. Not only so, but while the biblical worldview highlights the severity of sin and its consequences, the Quranic worldview reduces the original sin to an original slip, a mere bout of forgetfulness. One other point that should be made in this regard, and that is according to Islam, every new child born is born in a state of original Muslim purity. And I think to misapprehend the gravity of original sin as Muslims do is to miss the good news by which we may be saved. I bring all of this up because more and more we will see major newspapers, they will be repositioning Islam in such a way that it sounds wonderful. In truth, in point of fact, it is anything but. And we'll be talking a lot about that this year because so many people are unfortunately communicating the skin of the truth that is stuffed with a great big lie. First up today, Maria in Bellingham, Washington. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
My question was, what is your take on the New Apostolic Reformation?
Well, my take is that it is what I wrote about in a book called Counterfeit Revival. I mean, the whole idea of apostolic is that there are new apostles and prophets. There are super apostles and prophets where the Old Testament prophets or the New Testament prophets to appear on the scene today, they would stand in line for their autograph. In other words, the new apostles, the apostles of the 21st generation, are far greater than the apostles and prophets of old. In terms of Reformation, in their view, they have this idea that like Martin Luther nailing 95 theses on the castle door in Wittenberg, starting a Reformation, they've started a Reformation, and it is going to completely change the way in which church is done. And in many cases, that change is a change which is very subjective as opposed to a change which focuses on principles and precepts which can be objectively established by the Word of God. So the New Apostolic Reformation is not new, it's not apostolic, and it's not a reformation in the true sense of the word.
Okay. And because my church is, has been coming under the their beliefs, what would you suggest?
I think one thing that would be helpful is my book, Counterfeit Revival, but I think that what we are doing in general is we're aping the pagan practices of spirituality in this so-called New Apostolic Reformation. And I've written a little book on that. It's a little booklet that you can find on the web. If you want to hang on, I can send it out to you. Be happy to give you that information so that you can look at how they are using socio-psychological manipulation tactics in order to conform their members to practices which are decidedly unbiblical.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Just hang on. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cindy next. She's listening in Leavenworth, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you quite a bit, and I appreciate your broadcast.
Thank you.
I have a question, and then if I can, I'd like to hang up, because we're driving. I'd like my husband to be able to hear, too, as we're driving along. My question is that we're attending a small non-denominational church that has recently changed its mission statement to the fact that it is a, quote, universal church. And when I look at that on the internet, it's a little bit murky. Some of it sounds in line and then some of it sounds like it could go out in many directions. So I wanted to know if you're familiar with this or what your opinion is.
Sure. Well, a couple of things I would say. It really does matter what the context is, because if you say you are part of the church universal, or that you are a local expression of the church universal, you're saying something which is absolutely true. The church universal is a church which is made up of people from every language and people and nation throughout all time. And we are local expressions of that church universal. However, if by universal they mean universalism, and the ism is the dangerous poison, that belief is that ultimately everybody's going to be saved. And the argument is that an all-loving, all-powerful God would not allow any to go to hell, which flatly contradicts Scripture at many different points, not the least of which is that now heaven wouldn't really be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. But again, this kind of ism denies biblical teaching concerning hell as the abode of those who want to do it their own way. And although God indeed wills for all to be saved, the Bible recognizes that some will receive Christ and others will not. In other words, some will want to be participants in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and others simply will not. Universalism, therefore, removes all moral responsibility. If everyone goes to heaven, sin has no eternal consequence, and witnessing becomes irrelevant, and you have to wonder why Christ would have commanded Christians to share the gospel when everyone is already destined for heaven. Much, much more could be said about this. I actually did a message on this, I think it was last year or the year before, but it is a very serious error as an ism. Universalism. But if you're talking about the church universal, that is what we believe. We believe that there is a church universal, that there are believers in every epoch of time, and that the full complement of God's people will be gathered together as Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, carries that body, as it were, over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. Let's go back to the phone lines. Before we go back to the phone lines, let me mention just a couple of things that are very, very important, and I haven't been mentioning them much as we have come into the new year. And the first of those things is CRI's support team. Our work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners like you. And that work is not only what you hear on the Bible Answer Man broadcast or read in the Christian Research Journal. For example, in a few weeks' time, I'm going to spend a weekend in Tanzania, and I'm going to be teaching and training pastors that have boots, as it were, all over the place and in places where people desperately need to hear the gospel, desperately need to understand the threat of cults and world religions like Islam. So there is work that we are doing like this all over the world, and we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in that work. Support team members, quite frankly, undergird and strengthen every one of our 24/7 outreaches, equipping fellow believers at home. And as I just mentioned, around the globe, we need to add new support team members this month, and to join the CRI support team to help change our world, all you need to do is go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Talk to one of our resource consultants. Again, 888-7000. Numerically, it's 888-7000-274. Also want to mention quickly the CRI Equip app. A lot of people listen to the broadcast on their smartphone, And the advantage is you can not only listen live, but you can listen to archived editions. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can also give in a safe, secure fashion on our Equip app. So equip.org/app is the place to go. If you haven't subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, also commend the new edition of the Christian Research Journal. I'll be talking about it all this month. It's absolutely stellar. If you're not subscribing, take an opportunity to do that. You can do that in safe, secure fashion, as I just mentioned, on the web at equip.org. And we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the Scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, "I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come." Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Carl listening in Olive Branch, Mississippi on WCRV. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just want to let you know that you're like my mentor. I mean, I have gotten so many resources from you guys, and I just want everybody to know that it's just so important to get these resources and just to support, you know, to support what you're doing, because it's done it for me, and it's done it for a lot of people that I've given these resources to. I mean, the Complete Bible Answer Book, I can't tell you how many of those I've given away to people, and it's just such a good book, and all your resources, you know, everything's so well researched, and I've been following you a long time, and I just wanted to, you know, to thank you for that, and I really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you for the testimony.
You know, I just wanted to ask you, I grew up as a Catholic. Really wasn't practicing it. I'm 54 years old, and got married and stuff. And now I'm Methodist, you know. And we go to a good church. I mean, I'm very involved in the church, and I just wanted to know your opinion of like the Methodist Church. I know there's a lot of things going on, you know, with a lot of gay marriage, you know, and stuff like that. That's kind of seeping in, and I guess I'd like your opinion on that. If you could do it, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that you just alluded to one of the main issues, and that is Methodist groups are found across the theological spectrum, from conservative evangelicalism to extreme liberalism. And what I mean by that is the idea that modern society can't embrace concepts that have been repudiated in age of scientific enlightenment. So they get rid of the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the infallibility of Scripture, etc. So you have very, very liberal Methodists, and you have within the spectrum conservative Methodists as well. Of course, this is a denomination which has its roots in the teachings of John and Charles Wesley. Pretty much everybody's familiar with them, particularly with their songwriting prowess. And they're known as Methodists. I mean, the reason they got that moniker is because of their insistence on exacting discipline in scholastic as well as spiritual matters. So started good. I would say that it is pretty much off the rails in a broad sense today. It is historically related within Protestantism again, and the United Methodist Church is the largest Methodist denomination today. Official position is that the church does not condone the practice of homosexuality, considers this practice incompatible with Christian teaching, but the fact that the denomination as a whole teaches that does not mean that the practice within Methodist parishes is consistent with the official view. And I would say that they're in great, great danger of a whipsaw on that particular issue. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Catherine, listening in Los Angeles, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good afternoon to you. I just have a general question in regards to the biblical response in terms of the Kim Burrell issue, the message, the gospel, the presentation of the gospel as the gays and her apology statement and so forth like that. I think my really, I'm trying to figure out how the best way to present my question. I guess my question is, how does the body of Christ respond to both errors? Her errors in presentation as well as a proper biblical response in how to engage relating to the sin of homosexuality and sin in general.
Well, I think the real issue here becomes, what is your authority? If the Bible is your authority, then it's important to be able to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And when people have the temerity to say, I now know better than Jesus knew or better than the Bible as a whole knows, they're setting themselves up as an authority. So the question is, how good is their authority compared to the biblical authority? I wrote a book on this, and that book is available for people who support the ministry all this month. It's titled, Has God Spoken? And I demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and then teach people how to read it in the sense in which it's intended. And I think that's where people go off the rails. They simply either don't want to read it in the sense in which it's intended, or they have their own agenda and therefore are purposely misreading it.
How would you apply 1 Peter 3:15 to that?
Well, that's a good example of a lot of people who really don't know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And I think this goes across a pretty broad spectrum. There are some legitimate opinions in terms of how to read 1 Peter 3:15, but there are also a lot of illegitimate perspectives on the same thing, where people are reading it in a sense that does not comport at all with the context. So, you look at the context of 1 Peter 3:15, and you see here very clearly that what Peter is saying, you have to do what you do with gentleness and with respect, that you always have to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, give the reason for the hope that you have, and you have to keep a clear conscience in the process, because 1 Peter 3:15 is followed by 16, which tells you to keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And then Peter goes on to say, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, for Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So I think that what we're told is that no matter what, we have to stand for truth, even when it's no longer politically correct, and sometimes there are horrendous prices, as it were, to pay for taking stands.
Awesome.
So let's model the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost. We have to speak the truth. We have to speak it in love. We must recapture the Lord's zeal for the lost and sick of society, including those engaged in sexual practices that the Bible forbids. Why? Because God puts parameters around our lives so that our lives might indeed be full. And that means concretely that we visit their homes, we eat with them, we speak, and we act out of love rather than hate. We communicate the good news about God's rule. And when repentance happens, well, as someone has well said, you throw a party. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Don. He's listening in Upland, California, on the web. Hi.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, I'm so glad I got through to you. I have really an eschatology question for you. It's kind of a three-part, and I wrote it down, so I know you have a lot of people on the line, so I won't waste your time. First of all, the last 4 months, you have changed my life. I've been through a lot in the last couple of years, separated from my wife, and my daughter's living with me. I have a new baby. I mean, just so much has happened. And I recently joined a new church in September. And, you know, I prayed that God would, bring me wisdom in the Word, because I grew up as a Christian. And when I was 13, I knew the Word. just recently retired from the Marine Corps, 28 years.
Mm.
And, you know, I went into a Christian store, and I was searching for an answer to a particular question I asked my pastor regarding Revelations. We had a Bible study, and the way I read it was different, and it was Matthew 24. So I had mentioned something about, hey, you look at this as being literal, not 24, but in this particular case, it was regarding the millennial. And then I told him that I read things differently, and when I explained it, he told me it was dangerous, that was amillennialism, this and that, and asked me to go research it. So I had no clue about, you know, I knew about the pre-tribulation because I grew up in the 80s, you know, hearing that. But, you know, it led me to the Armageddon Code, which you were interviewed in that by a journalist named Billy Hollowell. And I had no clue. It was over five different types of theories, pre-tribulation, rapture, post-tribulation, the middle range and middle tribulation rapture, you name it. But it also led me to your apocalyptic cold book, and I tell you, that did wonders for me, because things started to fall in line, and that was a prayer answered for me. From that book, I've read your afterlife. I have the Counterfeit Revival, the Christianity in Crisis, and I shared it with my 26-year-old kids. As a matter of fact, we had a Bible study, and I went through Matthew 24 with them on eschatology to answer those three questions that was really confusing to me in the beginning. But my question is, number one, Revelations 12, 7 and 9, it talks about Satan's fall. I came across a partial preterist as I was doing my research, and he said in his book, this guy is Victorious Eschatology. I'm not sure if you know this guy, Eberle, I believe it is, and Trench. But he said that after Christ's ascension into heaven, after he died on the cross, Satan actually fell. Of course, the dispensation of viewpoint is that this happened thousands of years ago, or maybe even millions. If that's the case, my question is, if he did fall in the first century, what's the deal with the Garden of Eden?
Well, let me answer that quickly, because we're almost out of time before I'm up against a station break, and simply let you know that the theological deduction on the basis of a sound reading of Scripture is that Satan fell before Adam and Eve, because Satan was the agent of the temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I think when you read the book of Revelation, you see that in places like Revelation chapter 12. Revelation, by the way, is essentially two parts: the victory of Christ over the beast and the woman who rides the beast. And in part two, you have the victory of the bride of Christ over the beast and the woman who rides the beast. So Revelation is essentially a recapitulation in two parts. And a lot of the major themes and symbols are repeated or refashioned from part one to part two. And I think that a lot of the questions that you're asking can be answered by reading and rereading the Apocalypse Code. I am so sorry that I can't give you more information than that. Simply up against a hard break. We'll be right back.
To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day coming up right now, it's from John Chrysostom. He was the Patriarch of Constantinople, a very significant early church father known for many things, including the Divine Liturgy of St. Chrysostom and powerful preaching and public speaking. He, incidentally, is honored as a saint in the Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican churches. And sometimes when we have some snow or we have some reason to be indoor, my wife and I sit together, and she loves to read me quotes from the great, great fathers. She reads so many books, underlines so many books. It is absolutely amazing, and she gives me some of the most amazing quotes. So she gave me the quote of the day from John Chrysostom, and it is about death. And listen to these words, Old English, but listen to the words. just what it is to put off a garment that is death. For the body is about the soul as a garment. And after laying this aside for a short time by means of death, we shall resume it again with the more splendor. What is death at most? It is a journey for a season, a sleep longer than usual, so that if thou fearest death, thou shouldest also fear sleep. If for those who are dying thou art pained, grieve for those too who are eating and drinking, for as this is natural, so is that. Let not natural things sadden thee. Rather, let things which arise from an evil choice make thee sorrowful. Sorrow not for the dying man, but sorrow for him who is living in sin. Again, the quote of the day by John Chrysostom, and a reminder, as I had this weekend, as my wife was reading to me, about how we have to fix our gaze on eternity, how this body is going to be clothed with splendor, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Greatest rendition, perhaps in the whole Bible on this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Simone, listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Simone.
Hi, Hank. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I know I don't have much time, so I'll make it quick.
Okay.
There's a video going out on Facebook that's been passed along, and it's by he says he's an ex-pastor that has now tested and tried the Bible and found it to not be true. And he's throwing references to us being enslaved by the Bible with the slave mentality, and that God would never allow us to be slaves. And he said, if you go into different countries, the Jesus of those countries, if it's Chinese, Chinese, and that's impossible, and pretty much telling everybody to wake up that, you know, that Bible was put out there by man to more enslave us than to really let us know what the real truth is. And I think it's a dangerous thing to do. I've trusted the Bible, and I've prayed, and I know my prayers have been manifested, maybe not right away, but it has come to fruition. So to put that out there in the past that belongs to so many people is a very dangerous thing. And he said he's been a pastor for a very long time, very, very long time, had a church, had a following, and everybody's mad at him. But he was tired of us living the lie. So I didn't know how to respond to that, if I should, in fact, respond to it. Because I know there's so many other things out there, but for some reason, that one is the one that got to me the most.
Well, you should respond. We ought to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect, and particularly on an issue like this, because we're not enslaved by the Christian worldview. We're liberated by the Christian worldview, because the Christian worldview is about life in the Trinity. When we become believers, we are not only saved by the death of Christ, but we live according to his life. This is the great exchange, talking about the early church fathers. This is the great exchange that the early church fathers talked about. The fact that we are by grace what God is by nature, which is to say we can be partakers of the divine nature by living the engrafted life and by partaking of the graces that God gives to us. And then we find complete liberation because we have been created for relationship with God. So as a Christian, you respond to this very simply. It's very, very obvious to those who look around themselves with an open mind that the universe is not a happenstance. It didn't just happen by chance. The heavens declare the glory of God. But this God is not just impersonal. This God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He emptied himself. It's called kenosis, so that we could be filled with him. That's called theosis. And that's what we were designed to be. partakers of the divine nature, those who are not slaves anymore, but sons and daughters, children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just for time, as significant as that is, but for all of eternity. So this is not about enslavement. This is about liberation. It's about redemption. It's about freedom in Christ. So here you have a pastor that claims to know what he's talking about, and he's missed the main and the plain thing of Scripture.
Yes, because he makes reference to the flood, how if God was a God of love, he would have never allowed us to perish in the flood the first time, and that, you know, the mentality that people have today is, like, we don't know who wrote that book, pretty much to say, and anybody could have wrote it, and it's been translated so many times that we'll just believe whatever is put before us, and that there was no real Christian church. It was a Jesus Christ, but not a Christian church. Jesus Christ didn't say there was a Christian church. And, you know, it just goes on, and it says to go onto this other website to find out more about it, which I have, and because I thought that was foolishness, but, you know, I think it's dangerous that it's out there that way.
Well, it is, and what's going on here is a misapprehension of the biblical text. Again, a failure to be able to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And this guy has many, many brothers and sisters in the same vein as he is. I mean, Bart Ehrman, for example, is a person who's made a cottage industry out of demeaning the Word of God. But he doesn't do that by thinking critically or carefully, but he does so by simply not understanding how to read literature in general and the Bible specifically. For example, he'll tell you that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet, and he does so because he doesn't know how to read the figures of speech in Scripture. So if the Bible uses apocalyptic language, he, as a fundamentalist from the left, wants to read it in a wooden, literalistic sense and completely misses the meaning, and then with great bravado talks about what he does not understand. So it's sad on the one hand, but I think even sadder that Christians are not equipped to deal with critics of the faith, like a Bart Ehrman, or people who are constantly saying that the Bible is just a copy of a copy of a copy with fresh errors being injected in each stage of the process. This is good rhetoric, but it is not good reason, and unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that we're getting from these people, and we live in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And as a result of this, all too many people fall for the skin of the truth stuff for the great big lie. In fact, you know, the wisdom of God is evident through the way he protected the biblical text from the one thing centuries and millennia later we could never detect, and that is changes of doctrine or theology by anyone who had ecclesiastical power at a particular juncture in church history. Instead of that, what we see is that the New Testament was written at various times. It was copied, and then there was never a time that anyone could gather the copies and make extensive changes. By the time anyone had great ecclesiastical power, the copies were buried in the sands of time, and they were out of reach of any alteration. So we have autographs, and within the autographs are forever immortalized the words of God. Instead of having less than the autographs, we have far more. We have a treasure trove of manuscripts, and through those we can get back to the autograph, and it's fantastic. It's just fantastic when you recognize the way God has preserved his words. Now, people will say, well, all the manuscripts have errors. Yeah, they do. They're not significant errors, and they're not the same errors. So by comparing manuscript with manuscript, the issues of style or spelling, these kinds of issues are quickly ferreted out. So these people are making a mountain out of a molehill either doing it because they don't know what they're talking about or doing it because they do know what they're talking about and they want to strip the faith of people who are gullible.
I see. Well, I appreciate that, Hank. I'm definitely going to respond. I don't like to argue and go back and forth because, you know, I'm not the one that I need to ask.
Well, this is not about arguing, though.
I definitely will reply. Mm-hmm.
This is not about arguing. Here's the deal. I mean, I was on a plane not long ago, and I was looking forward to a nice, nice long sleep. I was coming across the country, and the person next to me started a conversation. This was just a couple of weeks ago. And I was dead tired, but they started a conversation, and that conversation was along the lines that we're talking about right now. This person was genuinely interested, and God put me next to that person, and I was able to answer his objections and give him a whole different perspective. And I'm not, I can't say that I converted that person, but I do know that I did what I was equipped to do. I was ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within me, with gentleness and with respect. Turned out to be almost a 5-hour conversation, 4.5-hour conversation, and extremely edifying. But I didn't feel like I had to convert the person. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But I did have to be ready and able and willing to give an answer to the objections he saw to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. My apologies to the calls that I cannot take because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to say once again how grateful I am for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I cannot do what I do around the world without you. The Christian Research Institute cannot do what the Christian Research Institute does around the world without you. So stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. And we'll be right back here tomorrow with more.
Thank you for joining us today. To help you immerse yourself in the teachings of Scripture, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI.
or go online to equip.org.